we're going to get into the heart of the story.
We lived in TA estate where I have to travel about 7 miles to go to a proper school.
Tell us about that. Take us back to your days growing up.
I'm sure it might be encouraging and stimulating for some youngsters.
Did you know what you wanted to pursue?
All that I knew was that I need to do something to stand on my own foot.
You didn't have a scholarship?
No.
That's amazing.
Education should be given to anybody in an affordable manner, and they should be useful to the society.
Ever since we watched the film 12th Fail, I've been telling everyone I've met, please go watch it. It is such a brilliant story and a real one as well that really inspires you to go after your ambitions, to go beyond what is your destiny. And today, for that very reason, I also encourage you to watch this episode all the way to the end because it is full of inspiration, it is full of grit, determination, and it is the absolute truth. Hello and welcome to Hey Karish. And today I present to you a very, very special guest, Selva.
Hi, Karish. So good to be here.
Thank you, Selva, for joining us.
I'm so honored and privileged.
Thank you for coming home. I think this is the first time you're coming home.
Yes, it is. Indeed, it's a beautiful home and lovely to be here with you and spend this time with you too.
Thank you. So, Selva, what we do on the podcast, let me just talk you through it. It's pretty much just that. We just talk to each other and we've had some wonderful friends of ours come over onto the show. And, we've known each other for four years.
Yeah.
And, from the first time that I met you, I remember just feeling this beautiful energy from you. You know, your smile and your happiness is, it's infectious, it's radiating. And I love that. I love happy people. I think everyone loves happy people, right?
Thank you so much. And I want to tell you, I reciprocate the same feeling with you, Karish. As soon as I met you, I was like, oh, here's someone whom I love.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. And today you're here. You're actually, my friend's mom, but I look at you as a friend. I think there's just something about you, like I said, that we connect at that level where I'm able to just talk to you so freely. You know, first of all, well done on that.
Thank you.
Well done for being that person that is so approachable, so easy to talk to. Is that something that you know about yourself?
Many have told me. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe because I just don't grow in my mind, in the physiological sense. I just keep myself to relate to any level of people. That's something that I think it's a gift. And I really want to thank God for that.
If we were to formally introduce Selva.
Yes.
Yes. What would be your formal introduction?
Oh, well, I am Professor Selva Titus-Sharko, who currently work as the Dean of the College of Nursing in Gulf Medical University.
And this is in Ajman?
It's in Ajman.
Correct.
Yes.
All right.
And I've been there since about 3.5 years now.
Wow. So to be the Dean of the Gulf, you said
Medical University.
And you've had this opportunity. When did this happen?
It happened in 2020. They were looking for a dean, if I may say. I was actually the previous former dean of Christian Medical College, Vellore in India. Mm-hmm. Many would have heard of that place. It's one of the very famous institutions. And I've been the dean there as well. So they were looking for a dean here and they were searching for someone for Vellore. And it so happened that I just had finished and provisions of children being here in UAE. And then I come over and look and I like the place and the kind of work that they were doing. So I just gotten back and that's how I am here.
We are obviously, I think, better off with you. So I think the UAE and of course the medical world, the education world is better with you, part of it here in the Middle East.
I would say that it has been bilaterally very beneficial, I would say. Mm-hmm. I like my university because of the philosophy which they work. They don't think that, especially professionals, you just have to be only knowledge-wise, but you need to have skill going down. This is what I have been trained back in Vellore. We believe in integration of education and practice. And so they have an academic health system, which has got the hospital and the teaching institution, all in the same vicinity. You understand? So that is something that I fell in love with. And so as soon as I saw that, this is where I thought, that'll mean my next phase would be there. I didn't want to be somewhere there. You know, just you sit in one of these universities and just teach and run around looking for place. This is here. Everything is just in one campus. And professionals like health, you have to have the knowledge which percolates on your skill, and you have to have the practice place just there. So that's something. That's the reason why I chose that place.
Nice. Now, you've been dean altogether for how many years?
In Vellore, it's a term period. So I've been there for 5 years there. And then here for this last 4 years. But I've been the deputy dean for 4 years. I've been the additional deputy dean for 4 years. I've been the registrar for 4 years. Almost 20 years I've been in administration.
In upper management.
Well, in a way, yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Of what would be pretty much the, you know, cornerstone of something that's a very important part of our healthcare system. So what part of the healthcare system do you work most closely with?
I work with the nursing field, basically. So, you know, in terms of being the, you know, being one of the deans of one of the biggest institutions in India, you have a lot of opportunity to be able to participate in the national policy making or, you know, in the national associations. You have a voice to be there. So that's something that I've really enjoyed, because then you believe in certain beliefs like this, which you feel that a nurse just doesn't have to have knowledge, but also have to have skill. And very often the society thinks that she doesn't need knowledge. She needs only the skill, but it has to be both, you know, and I have a heart towards that. So that kind of policy I've been involved with. And this opportunity of being the dean has made me travel all over. I've been like part of WHO collaborating center. Ours was a WHO collaborating center for nursing and midwifery. So I've been to about 20 countries, different parts of the world, and understanding their perspective and sharing ours, especially from Asian side. So that's something that I've enjoyed and enriched and brought back and taken to them as well.
I love this. And now we're going to get into the, you know, the heart of the story, which is that I also know, you know, besides knowing how, you know, well established you are today, I also know that the beginning of this journey was challenging for you. It was an uphill battle for you to be able to pursue the education that you wanted. Tell us about that. Take us back to your days growing up.
If I'm sure it might be encouraging and you know, stimulating for some youngsters. So I'll give you a little bit background of my family to say where I am today. I come from a Hindu Nair, very traditional girl from Kerala, Palghat. My father was a self-made man, basically because he lost his father very young, and he lost his mother very young. So his father remarried, and so he was not taken along with him, but somebody else brought him up. So he didn't have a proper education. But he was a very determined man, so he did a lot of small businesses, and so he grew to be a person who was selling tea in a tea estate. Well, that's when he got married to my mom, and then both me and my brother were born. Just because he was not educated, he wanted us to know how to read and write, basically, you know. And if you look at our background in Nair families in those days, I'm not saying these days, they don't educate girls more than year 12. Mm-hmm. Year 12 is like the top. And then most of the girls I know at that time, they go for typewriting and shorthand and then get some kind of a secretarial job. The next thing that they do is get them married. That's it. But I don't know. I must say that it's just God's provision that I met some. And, you know, we lived in tea estate where I have to travel about 7 miles to go to a proper school. Because it had 56 estates and an English medium school was about 7 miles. My father was very determined that I need to speak in English. So he put me in that school, and traveling in the rainy, misty areas, you know, at that time, it's hard. Most often children come down to south in Coimbatore to study. That's when this uncle, I would say, I'll never forget his name. He is the one who brought, actually, I would say that, you know, always you have a means in your life, right? This uncle came to that estate, and he lived in a place called Madurai. And so he invited me to be in a boarding school there, asking my father, who was a friend of my father, that he would be my guardian. So that's how I went to this school in Madurai, and I was in boarding from fifth. I don't think my father thought much at that time, thinking that he just wanted someone to be looking after his daughter while she's in Plains. He didn't want her to struggle in the tea estates. That's the only thing. But that school is the place that I really got transformed and inspired. And actually, my faith in Christ grew that place. And I saw that you know, you can do a lot to the society if you're educated and you grow. And I was determined to study, you know. And I think by nature, I was a studious girl in one sense. But then as I grew to the high school, I started hearing from my father. And his counsel was my mother's father, who's his father-in-law, started saying that, you know, that's it, finish 12th grade. And I mean, that's the end of the story. That they call pre-university, right? So I knew that is going to, you know, change my life. And I was determined I want to stand on my own foot doing something that is useful. That was my determination. So it wasn't easy, Karish. And I thought I would really work out. So I finished, you know, I was a batch of student where year 11 was the end of school and you had to go to the college for pre-university for 1 year. So I asked my father, requested to study in a college which is attached to my school because I really loved the school. They taught me when you wake up, when you do things, you know, disciplining and so on. But he was not too happy because it's too far away from where my parents lived in the Valpare Estates. So he brought me to Coimbatore and I studied for 1 year in that university there. So I thought if I worked very hard and if I got the best outgoing student, maybe they will change their mind. And wow. I did become the best outgoing of the university that year.
Really?
Well, still it didn't change my parents' mind, actually.
But hold on. All right. So you were determined
that
you were going to convince, you know, mom and dad to allow you to go for further education.
Yes.
And I think for in India, where we come from, and in fact, in the subcontinent, you know, in our part of the world, this is how things work. Your parents need to come on board or you need to get on board. You need to be in agreement for things to happen in our lives, you know, as we're growing up. So this is fully understandable. What year are we talking roughly?
You're talking in 76, 77.
Right.
So you know my age now.
You are ageless, Selva.
Thank you.
And I think it's incredible that in the 70s, when not so many women were out there, you know, pushing the envelope, that you were so determined at what it 14, 15, 16
14,
years?
15, yeah. About year 9, 10, I was determined that I have to pursue my education.
And did you know what you wanted to pursue?
Actually, I didn't. I must say that I didn't. Because there was nobody to guide you.
Right.
And, you know, it's not like today where you can look at social media or look at someone.
Yes.
I couldn't. All that I knew was that I need to do something to stand on my own foot. That was the only thing that I thought at that point.
Where did you get that from?
Well, I think it's just from above, I would say. I can't think of anything any other way.
Yeah.
All glory to God.
So it's not like you saw somebody and were inspired to follow.
Only thing is the founders of our schools were people who came from somewhere and they had, you know, developed the school. So when that kind of knowledge and inspirations come and then you realize that you can be meaningful to the society in many ways.
Yeah.
Yes, that's something that I had inculcated. And our teachers also always gave that kind of teaching, apart from the lessons that you learn, that you are born for a particular reason and you have your inner strength which can make you do something in life. And that was something that they all passed on to. Yeah.
So how many girls were you in that year, you know, getting out of pre-university?
We had about from Section A to Section F. Every section had about 50 to 60, but the group of science was about 5 or 6. 6 groups were science group. That's about, say, 300, 350. So I was the best outgoing. There was a group which is fully maths, and there was one which was economics. In those days, there were not many choices.
Right.
And the middle was all the science, and I was that group. Yeah.
Well, congratulations
thank
on
you.
That.
Thank you.
And then let's come back to the part where it didn't work. Your plan didn't work.
No, it didn't work. But again, I always have believed that people come into your life, or even what we're doing now, it's not accidental. It's just for a purpose, right?
Yes.
It always comes to you. So I met this, another couple in the TA States, and I thought I will go and share my desires and my faith with them. And they were Christians, and I went and told them that I just want to, pursue on to study. And, I must tell you one incident at this time. I was going to receive the best outgoing, honor during the graduation ceremony in our school. And the then education minister of Tamil Nadu was coming there. And I asked my father, because I'll be seated in the high table. And I said, please come, because we have an invitation for your parent. I don't blame my dad. He's a businessman, small businessman. And that for him at that point, that was a priority. And he was least concerned what his daughter was doing. And he was not going to change his mind. He didn't come. So I got all these prizes. And I remember I got for general proficiency. I got for physics, chemistry, biology, botany. And then for general proficiency, they gave us LIFCO dictionary. I remember the FAT dictionary. And owning that was like priceless, So I came with all this home weeping that none of you came. And that's when this uncle came to my house just casually for something to my dad. And he saw me crying, and I asked, why is she upset? She's got so many gifts. And then I said, uncle, my dad doesn't want to educate me in spite of me receiving this. He told my dad, Mr. Shekhar, if it's my daughter, I would, do this to her. So, that was just that incident. So I went to them to tell about my desire of wanting to be educated. Immediately that clicked on to them. And it's that aunt in that house who said, my father was against any BSc, BA, nothing. He's not an educated man. His thinking was, if you do BSc, then you will say you want to do MSc, then you will say you want to do something. These are not achievable and reachable for us. And it's very difficult to find a man for you. That's the next point.
Who's more educated than you. Yeah.
And most of my relatives are farming and people like that, or working. And if I may say, even now, I'm one of the highly qualified in my community of people, So that's what happened. And that aunt was telling, why don't you go to CMC Vellore? Because that has a bachelor in nursing program, which you would get a job. I was going on telling, I want something that I'll do something and stand on my own foot, which can support me, and then I can, be my own. So she's the one who suggested this to me. Well, I think they tried a lot to tell my dad and convince. Meanwhile, I also sneaky applied for a bachelor in agriculture and pharmacy. Those days they were new, just by myself. But anyway, I think he respected them. He said, okay, I'll take her for this. Then he said, would she not ask to do masters? No, she will not do masters. Only you can immediately get a job. That's how I came to Vellore, convincing. But I think when he came to Vellore, he really realized that what determination I had. Because
what did he see there?
What he saw was there was this ocean of people applying. Mm. And those days there were no coaching, nothing. Mm. And then I was an open candidate. Most of the children in CMC are sponsored by churches. And so they had, at least when I sat to write, there were about 600-700 students who wrote in that place. I think they had centers elsewhere also. And then they shortlisted, and we had a 1 week of rigorous, interviews going on. So many things, activities to do. And I do remember at that time, many of the students were trying to tell my dad, as parents they meet, this child speaks better English than anyone, so she's definitely going to get in. So it kind of boosted my dad, I guess. However, out of the five open, thank God I was one of them. So that's the story of me coming to Vellore.
So what does it mean to be an open candidate?
Basically, because it's a Christian institution and it has got a lot of sponsoring bodies, many of the students are taken from these sponsored churches, and they also have a competition, and then they go back to the churches, church hospitals for 2 years. It's a very beautiful system because you're getting in educated for a very, very low fee, and you're going back and being useful to the society. That's the philosophy of that whole institution. The open candidates are not people who are sponsored from churches because they don't belong to that faith. And there can be a large number in that. It can be from any background. It can be Christians themselves or Hindus or Muslims or whoever. But if you get in, it'll be only a small number of seats. You have to be really right on top to get that. And then you don't have a sponsoring body or anything to go to work with. But your choice. But, you know, getting in like that is a privilege, and it's a blessing, I would say. I wouldn't say it's my ability, but just God has been there with me.
So that also meant that you didn't have a scholarship?
No.
And so how did you manage paying for this course?
That's what I said. CMC is a very low paid education.
Right.
So the principle of CMC Vellore is that education should be given to anybody in an affordable manner, and they should be useful to the society.
That's amazing.
So that's the way even the sponsored candidates, when they are sponsored from a particular church and from wherever they come, they have to go back to their hospital work for 2 years. That commitment only they come.
Right. Okay. So when your dad found out that, you know, my daughter's on her way to seriously take up a career, at that time, was it confirmed that you're, you know, getting into nursing, or what was it?
Okay. Actually, he knew that I was getting into nursing because that's what I applied for.
Right.
But, you know, again, what happened was I loved the community. I liked that system. That's something that I kind of enjoyed when I was in school, you know. So when I came to Vellore, it was beautiful. But within a couple of months, the government, placement started. And with my marks being the best outgoing, I got into medicine in government college. So he came back. He was excited because, you know, his daughter, the one who said you can't educate, but he was too excited. At that point, there was no private colleges and there were only very few government colleges. And getting into medicine is just like unimaginable. So he came and he stayed for a week in Vellore trying to convince me to go back to do medicine in Coimbatore. But I have already decided by then, you know, this is what I want to do, because my belief and my faith and everything, I found that's the right place. You know, you get into a comfort zone of a place that you belong to. So I just decided.
You had found that place.
I was found that place, actually.
So tell me this, of all the students that were in your batch, you know, are you still in touch? Do you have any stories to share with us today of perhaps their challenges as well? How difficult has it been?
Okay, if I may say, most of them, if I may say, in those days would always come for this particular profession to go abroad.
Nursing. Right.
So most of my friends are abroad now. And I can tell you for a joke, they say to me that you're an open candidate and you'll be in US first and rest all of us will follow. So I used to think maybe I'm supposed to be in US. But you know what? That's not what was what was meant for me from above. I spent all my life in Vellore. And I also became the dean of Vellore.
Really?
That's what I did. And then, of course, now that the tenure is over, I'm over here. So when I look at others' challenges similar to me, I can't think of someone who really struggled by where the parents said, don't educate and then educate. But I know of people who've had a lot of struggle because either they didn't have parents when they came for study and somebody was supporting financially, but they all have made into where they are. They're all well. I must also add on, and I said that everyone said that, you know, you should be in US. I went to US after 25 years after being in Vellore. And I do remember feeling a bit inadequate because of the, you know, in my mind, thinking, oh my, they are in US, their culture is different and they must be, you know, well off and all that. But me and my husband went and I found that they were looking at us with envy that we have made into what we have to and our children are into what they are and they haven't reached anything. So it really doesn't matter where you are. That's what I realized, that you do where you are and do your best and you everything will fall in line for you.
Yeah, we have this fridge magnet that says that you're meant to bloom where you're planted.
Exactly.
And you've beautifully done that. We love, I love everything that you've shared so far. I also am wondering actually at this point if, you know, so for a woman to finally have that much education, then how you said you mentioned your husband. How did you end up finding someone who was more educated than you?
Actually, I didn't find him because he was more educated than me. He was a student and I was a student. We met in Student Christian Movement.
Right.
Which is a part of CMC, you know, everybody parts. And then we felt that he also was someone who was looking for somebody who has got the genuine concern in terms of faith, in terms of what we do. And there was... That's it, you know. The
so
open
this was
family.
A love marriage?
Yes, certainly.
And how did the family react to that?
That was another story. I should have another podcast with you. Finally, but I can say that, you know, when you put everything in front and, you know, you have a provision from above guiding you, whatever you think as mountain will just fall in place. And today we have the most beautiful relationship with both families. And so then we continued on in Vellore. And he's another person who motivated me to study further. So I did my master's and my PhD. And and the children also have been very supportive of whatever I've done.
And what does he do?
He is a medical oncologist. He also did medicine in Vellore. And then we went to a smaller place in India, which is a mission hospital in Tamil Nadu called Ottanchathiram. And it's a very beautiful, another philosophy that they follow is an ashram living. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having got married and newly when you go, as youngsters, your ambition is how to grow and what to do. But we realized that really doesn't matter. You know, how useful you are is what matters of those people there. From their lives, living examples, we learned what should be a priority and what should be the least priority. And so that actually changed. And that's where my daughter Tina and my son Rohan was born as well. So, yeah, that was another additional boon to our perspective of life as well.
So can you tell us a little bit more about this philosophy?
So actually, that was the founders, one Dr. Tarian and Cherian, they studied in Pune. And then they came to this place in Ottanchathiram where they started this hospital and they had an ashram living. That is, they cooked in one place and all of them ate. They never took a salary. They all lived, you know, out of one place and they developed. And I do remember even at that point that was for the whole village, did not have a hospital. Even now it stands for that principle. It's grown big, but not like then. You know, it's grown big, but it has shown that, you know, you can have or you can provide healthcare with that principle. You don't have to earn money and make yourself big, but you still can be available to the downtrodden and the grassroots. So my husband was sponsored for his medicine from there. So we got married and went there for 2 years. And there I was the principal for the School of Nursing. That's where my, you know, God provided the talent to how to admin and how to teach and how to mentor students and others. And that's continued on. And from there, I went for my master's back to Vellore.
Yeah.
And he went for his MD. We came back again to the same place. We almost spent 7 years in that place, actually.
So anytime I've been to a hospital, I would have interacted with the doctors there, I think 10% of the times. And 90% of the times you find that you're actually interacting with the nursing staff, the nurses there. And, you know, I've always only met kind nurses. I have only always had the best experiences with midwives and nurses. And, you know, they're... I know for a fact that they're overworked. I know for a fact that they have tough hours, long hours, night shifts, and all kinds of things going on in their personal lives. And yet they manage and balance this beautifully. And a lot of them do it with exactly that heart, which is to serve. you know, what would you say are some of the challenges of the nursing profession that the average person doesn't know about even today?
Of course, as you already rightly mentioned, they are managing their own life. You know, most of them are women and they have their families and young, they have children and, you know, basically all that. And the other thing is the society's perception of nursing. That's the biggest challenge that we face. I would say it's changing. It's changing in the Western world more than here. But that's the thing that they suffer with, because they are perceived to be someone who just follows orders. And that's where in nursing that we insist that it is just not enough to only be skillful, but also be knowledgeable. And you should be partly contributing to what that decision is made over that patient, right? So these are something very challenging in terms of, and then of course, I mean, you can enlist any number of things with regards to, you know, how they get paid and, you know, the position that they get, what they are, and all that is a big challenge. But yet, I think if you take any nurse, you know, you would find, if you have one nurse in a home, you'll find that she's the one who can multitask anything and have still a heart of compassion in spite of all that they go through. And they're so organized and disciplined. I tell you, people at home, my family, they make fun of me because I'm always in order of things. I always have list. I have things to do. But you can see that they're dependent on you. Not just only your immediate, even many others. And you always have a word of counsel for them, you know, and a word of advice for somebody. And I think it's such a beautiful profession. More than anything else, I would say that every other profession, you have to go to someone, right? To sell something or do something, market it. Here, the vulnerable is coming to you. What an honor. This is what has actually kept me through. And this is what I keep telling patients and telling students and everyone. You know, you will go through multiple things. And sometimes because they're vulnerable and they're sick, they can be a bit nasty to you. They really don't mean that they want to hurt you. It's just that they're just taking it on someone who do we take on when we have the most anger? Usually at home is the mother, right? So similarly, you know, they're taking it on to you just because not because they don't like you or love you. It's just because you are there available. Vulnerable and coming to you and being able to minister to them is the I think it is the basic belief of every faith, isn't it? To be available to someone with what you have been given. In their time of need.
Absolutely.
So I believe this is a beautiful profession that we are in.
You make it sound, you know, I think you just make it sound so much more compassionate. But yeah, I think sometimes we do, you know, end up putting a little more pressure than we need to. Today, have you come across anybody who's inspired by you and has decided to, you know, study and educate themselves further? Have those kind of stories already happened?
Sure they would have. Quite a few students who have. I would say that, you know, not in these days, but most, I would say a decade ago or something, or even before, usually the parents decide what you do, right? Students don't have any choice, or they're not knowledgeable. Today, you have all means of knowing. So very often you will find parents bringing in the students and saying that, or they didn't get into medicine, so they took nursing, the next best option. And they are disgruntled, unhappy, you know. So I try to kind of motivate and spend a lot of people, you know, very few I can remember of my, they are my good friends even today, who have said, I don't want to be in this at all. But, you know, working around them and trying to explain to them and making them understand and say, and today they are the most happiest people because they didn't leave and they do. And they're doing extremely well also. And so there are quite a few who have stayed back because of this. All that I try to tell the students is either you make a decision to join this, or you took this because you didn't have an option to join, or somebody forced into you. But at end of the day, you have to make it your own.
Now you're here.
Yes.
Now you make it count.
Don't be a lie to yourself and stay on. Because then you're never going to be fruitful to someone else. This is a profession which you are serving to someone else and you just have to make it. And I think most often you will find, all of us believe there is a supernatural power, God who's guiding you. And probably you, it may be through someone that you came, but it doesn't matter how you came. Just do your best and you'll find that you flourish and do extremely well. Well, having said that, I would not say that this profession is easy. It's not easy at all. You know, it's hard. In the sense, you're balancing learning, you're balancing working, and working with sick people is not easy. But, you know, as you move on, you kind of blend and you really enjoy. And I can see even here in UAE, students, they love going to the hospital rather than being in the classroom. They always say they learn a lot by being there. They become more understanding what life really means.
Yeah.
You know, which another core student of their age don't understand. They are able to perceive and value life more than what another person would.
So in the last 4 years working here in the UAE, what's been something that you absolutely did not expect and it came to pass here?
Oh, well, quite a few things, I must say. One thing is that when I came here, it was COVID. Okay, so I came as a virtual dean. There was no students, there was no faculty. I was just going and coming. And as I said, it's a big contrast because I worked in Christian Medical College, Vellore, where I had 1,000 students and 200 faculty. I came to a very small college. But I was sure that this is what God wanted me to be because I came here to check if I would feel comfortable before I even accepted. And so the thing is, it was brought in a lot of system change like what it was. And I must say, I just acknowledge the chancellor and others, you know, who are very, very accommodative of willing to, you know, walk along with me for the changes. And so we got our Bachelor in Nursing reaccreditation done in spite of COVID being there over 2 years. We have now written for master's program, which has also gone through. I got nominated as the one of the women leaders of East UAE.
That's,
I don't know how.
Incredible. That's well deserved.
Thank God for
pray
that.
Pray for the win, yeah.
And I also have been selected by Ministry of Education for being a reviewer of accreditation to other universities. So I went through and I just recently got graduated with that as well. So this 3 years, things have been that way.
I you know what, I knew there was something in this story, but I'm genuinely blown away myself at how much there is in your life's journey. And you're going to do so many more things. And it amazes me that, that there was a time when this was not looking possible, you know, that you didn't have the support, you knew you wanted it for yourself. You wanted education and you wanted something in life, some way to help society. It's just fantastic to see that, you know, you persist and, you know, where there's a will,
there's a way.
There is a way. It's just beautiful to see this.
I also must add, just for the benefit of those who are listening, because it might, I didn't stop with master's, also pursued on to do PhD, especially in hematology.
So you're Dr. Selva, Dean Dr. Selva.
Yeah. So that was in an area of another very important, that is with cancers in the blood. So I've been part of setting up the hematology nursing department in Vellore, where you do bone marrow transplants and so on. So, you know, I just want to encourage whoever's listening to me. If you just, you know, have a desire, you be focused and pray about it. You have a faith and just move on and blessings will come. And you may find here and there hurdles with many things. Like, you know, I don't know. For example, my daughter once asked my father, Apcha, they call Apcha, are you upset that mom didn't do medicine and she did nursing because she got... He said, well, to be true, yes, but not really. She did what her heart wanted it. And today she's, you know, being useful. And I don't think at any day I would have been a good doctor. I am what I am. And I'm so, so blessed by that. So, yeah.
Selva, as something practical for everyone who's listening in to actually put to use, can you tell us some places where, you know, where treatment is available at lower prices, or at, you know, at prices that people don't have to worry about. Because I know that in just in, you know, among my friends, there's so many people now whose parents or whose family members are unwell and there's no insurance. And, you know, you're looking, you're suddenly running helter skelter, taking them to here, there, and trying to figure out with insurance what's possible, what's not. Can you give us some guidance on this?
From coming from Vellore, I can tell you the philosophy is that 40% of their treatment is given as free. So it is not a profit-making institution. It's running its own by the rest of the 60%. So how does it work like that? It doesn't pay like private, all these doctors and others, you know, very high. So if, between me and my husband, we would have just earned enough to manage our children's education and so on. So the rest of it is gone as 40% free. So now how, they do assess to see what your social background is, and you could get either 100% complete free treatment, or you could get part, you know, 80, 20, 60.
And this includes all major conditions?
All major conditions. It doesn't matter. It depends on the department that you're going for treatment, and that is a possibility. Apart from that, there's a lot of primary cares that happens, you know, the basic level care. That is, again, it's, you know, mostly free. But that, of course, it belongs to that particular area. Then you can also, I do know a lot of other philanthropic enterprises which are providing care. That depends on what the illness is, and then we can tie up with them and see. Mm-hmm. They all have come up with this possibility of providing a certain percentage of their income for free treatment, mm-hmm. you know. So you that can be guided, provided they, you know. In Vellore is what I openly told you about. Well, if I told you about the place that I worked at Odanjadram, you compare that same treatment with another private hospital, you'll be probably paying four times more.
Wow.
Well, this place doesn't pay so, you know, you don't pay that much. But, you know, then you cannot expect a very
private room and three times dinner meals being brought to you.
Yeah. No? But you would find that the person who's treating you is trained in Vellore.
Yes.
Or, you know, in a very good institution.
And I would think that if the people are working with lesser, you know, income for themselves, and they're doing it because they truly want to serve, you know. Yes. And I think that that is really, really important in a calling like medical services. So I think that's important to note here. Selva, just Dean, Dr. Selva, thank you so much for taking the time.
I
have no role to play in your story, in your journey, but I'm so proud of you. You know, I feel like for everyone or anyone really who's ever had to, you know, struggle to do what they felt they should be doing, because that is where I relate with you completely. I feel so proud of you, and I feel like you bring light and hope to so many. I'm sure back in Vellore and back in your tea estates, where does Dad live now?
Dad is no more.
Oh, sorry.
Mom was with me for 20 years in Vellore. She's also no more. But my brother lives. But their children are with me. And I'm this education focus.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. That's what I was going to say, that everyone back in the village, you know, they must look to you as that beacon that is their guiding light, that, you know, we must walk this path. Yeah. She's done it, and then so many more will be able to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Karish. I don't know how much it has impacted others, but I can only say it's been an honor for me to be here and a blessing. And I would say that my life is just a blessing. I always say another point. People may think I may be very intelligent, right? I'm not very intelligent. I'm just an average person, but I work hard. So this is something I want to say. And I've seen that when you work hard, you can be much more efficient and effective than a very intelligent person.
Yeah.
So that's something that I do.
I completely agree with you. You know, I'm reminded of, as you're talking to me, Selva, I'm reminded of something I was teaching one of my kids in the fifth grade about. I hope my brain is not failing me right now. I think it was Florence Nightingale. And she is the person behind turning nursing into education.
She's the founder of modern nursing.
Yes. So I remember, you know, working on one of my kids with this on this project about how she was the one that truly believed that nurses do require formal training and education.
Yes.
You know, so today, it seems to me like, you know, you've been sort of that light bearer as well in you know, your generation and in the generations that have followed. You even mentioned actually that you've had the opportunity to work with the government.
Yes.
In making policy decisions and changes. Have there been any changes actually
that you can talk about? All the curriculum changes that happens every certain number of years, I have been involved in part. You know, mostly, when if you look at the Bachelor in Nursing, it is not the same as what it started with, you know, whether it's a number of years or what courses you need to add on, how it should be progressing further. So I've always been one of those people who have been involved with that. The other place that I have also been involved is Christian Medical Association of India had a diploma nursing program being run, and I have been the chairman of that. Nursing, you know, for the program. So our impact on how the curriculum need to be changed, either it is for a bachelor program or a master program, or what kind of postgraduate diploma program can you add on? You know, those sort of formation and strengthening it and stabilizing it. So that's something that I've been involved in that decision that is there. Apart from that, I've been very active with WHO. Where it has a body called Collaborating Center for Nursing and Midwifery. So I have been the representative for Southeast Asia, CRO region. So we take information from not just India alone, from, you know, Thailand, all those places. And we take that information of how nursing is to WHO. And then they kind of help us in transferring what they have. You know what I mean? So that is another position that I've really enjoyed. And that's how I travel to different places, transferring knowledge from Eastern side to them and then Western side too. Have developed a lot of collaborating centers for Vellore. In because of that as well. And here as well, now I'm trying to develop a lot more collaborating center. Very active here with the Ministry of Health and Ministry of Education, bringing both together.
So is there any experience, any example that you can share of actually some, you know, wisdom that was exchanged between the two cultures that you're talking about?
Told you, one of the areas that I'm very passionate about is integration of education and practice. Because you would find that in early days, nursing was only in the hospital. Then it became a collegiate program because people wanted that to feel that it is not like any other, you know, it's not that low, but it is also a graduate program. So much so, there was a huge divide between the hospital and the education. So there is a...
You've been working on closing that gap.
So that's what something that I worked on, and I presented papers in WHO and so on. So when I was interviewed online by the chancellor, that's one thing that he got attracted in what I had to say. So after coming here, I changed the curriculum. I started ensuring that from very first year, they start going into the hospital just to see where they are, what is this place. Probably they would have gone to hospital with a different perspective. But now, as a health profession. And so, you know, introducing integration into education into practice is something that I've brought. And every time this is brought up as a huge boon in or discussion in Ministry of Education or Ministry of Health here. So I'm in there. And so when the competency framework was formed for bachelor undergrad program, I was very active in that. And that competency framework, my name is also there. So,
gosh, like I said, I'm just so proud of you. I can't imagine how proud of you your mom and dad would have been, you know, from that tea estate life to this. Just, you know, God bless you. More power to you, Selva. And of course, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Karish. It's such a beautiful, you know, evening and lovely talking to you. I must say, I was a bit nervous what you're going to ask me. But anyway, this is something that is my story and I love sharing it because God has been faithful in my life. And I'm sure it is the same with anyone who puts, their life in front and ask God and bless and then move forward.
Absolutely.
And I hope to continue this as long as I can. Somebody asked, when will you stop, you know? So I just said, when my knees don't move, I will stop. Till then, I will just keep
doing. Who was this? This sounds like your son-in-law. When will you stop?
No. He says I'll never stop. He knows.
He knows. Yeah. I love your family and I love you. And, you know, we really appreciate
you
taking out time today. I know how busy your schedule's been. No. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was our episode today on Hey Karish. We really hope that you're walking away with some absolute gems from the show today. You know, I am going to remember so much of what Selva has shared today. And I feel like this is it, you know, conversations that change lives right here on Hey Karish. And we'll be back with another one of these conversations next week. Until then, please do tell us what you thought of this episode. If you have questions, you want to get in touch with, you know, Dean Dr. Selva, you can comment below and we'll help you get in touch with her. And of course, take good care of yourself and be nice to nurses.
Yes, certainly. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes, certainly. Hey, this is Dr. Selva. You just saw me on Hey Karish. Please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Just want to leave one more very important thought with you, which I had mentioned to you earlier. You don't have to be the smartest and intelligent person, but if you are hardworking, it can take you anywhere, especially your dreams. So God bless and thank you.